Let's open in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for inviting us into your presence, whether inside or outside, we know that you are with us. We ask that now we would be encouraged. The times that we live in are growing ever darker, and the difficulties we face as a society are challenging. And yet we find ourselves here in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit who's come upon us and filled our hearts with love. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that has invited us to become your children. We now ask as we open your word that you would touch every heart here today individually, uniquely, and powerfully, that each and every one of us would bring you glory through our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, you can turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel in chapter 16 and in verse 5, where we left off last week. Now, this is really part two of last week's message. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is encouraging his disciples. He's preparing them for what was about to happen to him and to them. And this has been happening now for several weeks that we've been studying as Jesus from the upper room to the garden is teaching his disciples, preparing his disciples for what would be very difficult times in just the next few hours. But he had said something to them, going back to chapter 13 and verse 33, he had said something about the fact that he was going to return to God the Father in heaven. And he says this in verses 5 through 7, and we'll read there. He says to his disciples, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now, Jesus has been talking about the Holy Spirit throughout this entire section in these chapters. And we want to recap a little from last week. But it's important that we understand that his first response is he's reacting to their reaction to the news that he would return to the Father, to God the Father. They don't seem to be all that interested in that truth, that he would go and return to the Father. He would be with them for just a few more hours, and then he would return to the Father who sent him. Now, he observed that none of them were all that interested in heaven. What is it about us that we're so preoccupied with the here and now that we oftentimes don't take the time to think about where we're going? Now, we're going to be going where Jesus went and where Jesus is. Amen? And because we know that truth, we can have hope in the midst of dark times. Remember that Peter had desperately wanted to know, where was Jesus going? He asked that question back in chapter 13. He had no idea. No idea at all where Jesus intended to go or why they wouldn't be able to find him. He didn't understand that Jesus would soon return to the Father. They weren't looking for that. They weren't expecting that. Thomas even questioned where he was planning to go and how they were going to get there in chapter 14. He clearly didn't understand that Jesus was planning to go and enter heaven where he had come from, because they had not yet accepted that Jesus was about to be put to death and raised to life. That's the problem. They truly didn't understand the plan of salvation. And brothers and sisters, there are many today that don't either. There are many people that simply do not understand that Jesus died for our sins, rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and ever lives to make intercession on our behalf at the right hand of the throne of God, and that he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. Amen? Now, I've been told that when I'm outside, I get a little Pentecostal. I'm trying to keep myself a little contained. I think I was a little excited just to be with you guys last week and just to see everyone. So I'm trying to, I just had some caffeine, so it may kick in a few minutes. But I'm real excited about the truth that we're going to heaven. And I'm real excited that we don't have anything to do to get there. That he's done it all, and that he's in the presence of his Father, preparing a place for us. But they could care less at the moment. Because from their perspective, they wanted what was happening to continue. More than anyone, I understand routine, believe me. And the last several months of my life has been anything but routine. I'm craving routine. I was sharing with Frank today how it's really a challenge. I'm sure some of you feel the same way. It's really a challenge to try to get by without my routine. It's a crutch. It helps me to cope with stress. Their routine was walking with Jesus. What a wonderful routine that is. But physically with Jesus, day after day, for 3.5 years, the idea of him leaving and going anywhere was not good for them. They weren't interested in that. Not one of them had asked him anything about heaven, the place where he was going. And he's a little surprised by that and says so in verse 5. Not one of you asks me, where are you going? Now he realized that telling them that he would be leaving them had caused them grief. In fact, he talked about that when he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Because their hearts were troubled. He assured them that it was for their good that he would return to the Father. But listen, we know this, right? His death and his resurrection is what made it possible for them and all of us to receive eternal life. And much as they would have loved to stay with him, the truth is, because he left them, because he died and rose again, they would spend eternity, will spend eternity with him. It was necessary that he should leave them for another reason, so that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, could come. If he didn't leave, the Spirit would not come. And thank God that the Holy Spirit, we celebrated this last week on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, and he's come upon us, and he's empowered us to preach the gospel to a world that rejects the gospel. Now, it was necessary that he should leave them. This one who comes alongside to help, that's what counselor means. He's just like Jesus because they're one. He had been their counselor for 3.5 years, but now this counselor would come upon them. He would be with them for the rest of their lives and into eternity, and Jesus would send this counselor to them from the Father in heaven, and this is why it was a good thing that he would leave them. He's the Spirit of truth. We talked about last week that he's the Spirit of truth that goes out from God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, who will testify to the world about God the Son. Now listen, you know this, right? It was a tough week. It's been a tough 2 weeks in our country, but it was a tough week. And the problem in our country is pretty simple from the Christian perspective. The problem is there is no acceptance of truth. And then on top of that, the solution is the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit lived through, in, and through the lives of his children. We talked about that last week. That's the solution. But I want to talk a little bit about the problem this morning. The problem is the world has rejected this idea of truth, that there is truth. Is it true that racism exists? Absolutely. Is it true that what we're going through right now is incredibly difficult and challenging and things need to change? Yes, it's true. Is it true that it's difficult for people of color and people who feel that they are ignored and their rights are abused? It is an incredibly difficult time. And I'm not saying that they feel that way means that it doesn't happen. We know it does. It's true. It's true. It's also true that the heroes of 2 weeks ago, our first responders and police officers, are now the villains of 2 weeks later. And it's true that some people in power abuse their power. But it's also overwhelmingly true that the majority of first responders, police officers, and individuals in their community love their community and are not hateful and racist. Those are things that are true. And our world is having a hard time with the truth. Some say there is no truth. Ask them the question. If they say there is no truth, ask them if that statement is true. And the argument disappears. There is truth. That's the point I'm trying to make. And listen, I am so grateful. Because I was fortunate enough to be raised in an interracial family. I am fortunate enough to have stepped outside my own personal culture and experienced other cultures. I am blessed and privileged to have served in two congregations that are ethnically diverse, including this wonderful church family. And so I am blessed to know we love each other regardless of our differences. But the world doesn't understand or know the truth of Christ, and therefore they're scared. They're angry. And we're angry. And they're frustrated. But we have the answer to the problem because we know the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And we have the love of Christ in our hearts by faith, which is the solution to the problem, which is people will say there is no objective truth. So where does the Spirit come in? The Spirit comes in that He is the Spirit of truth, but don't forget that He is also the one who gives us the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace. We talked about this last week. Patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faithfulness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And we understand the fruit of the Spirit is love, but He is the Spirit of truth. And so here's the thing, brothers and sisters, the world is perishing because it doesn't know the truth. It doesn't know His name is Jesus. And the Spirit comes in to our hearts by faith and gives us the ability to testify to that truth in a powerful way. So when Jesus says and refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, this culture needs the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, more than ever before. Let's understand that. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And all that God says, His word is truth. So today, I want us to think about that, and I want us to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit filling our hearts, not just with love, which of course we need, which we talked a lot about last week, but truth, a truth that only God can reveal in and through our lives and through the power and the preaching of His word. Because this that I'm holding up, by the way, this Bible that I'm holding up, is representative of the truth, because contained within its pages are the words of God, the word of God, which is truth, which is what the world desperately needs more than ever. So this morning, as we're looking at God's word, let's apply it to our circumstances. Let's not just take the time to do a Bible study and walk away and say, that was really interesting, Pastor Tim. No, where we are in our world today, you can't take this study and I can't teach this study in a way that we can apply it to our circumstances right now in our country, then we're just having a picnic today. And we know we're doing much more than that. He is God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Now, I'm going to recap briefly some of the verses. Back in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 14, we learned that Jesus would ask the Father, who would send the Spirit of truth to them, given to them by God the Father in response to Jesus' prayer. Does Jesus know best what we need? He felt it was so important to leave and send the Spirit because He knew that's what we needed. He is that counselor who would be with them forever. God the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week. The world can't accept Him. If they choose to, they can. But if they don't, they won't. He is, as we've said, the third person of the triune God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. He is God. We don't, quote-unquote, worship the Holy Spirit apart from God the Father and the Son. We worship God the Father in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. And that's how we interact with our God, who is triune. The world cannot accept Him or receive Him because they're ignorant. That's where we come in. That's where we come in. They're not able to perceive that He exists or know Him through personal relationship. And that's what Jesus talked to us in chapter 14 about several weeks ago. He's God the Holy Spirit. They knew Him through personal relationship. Remember, He was already living with them in the person of Jesus and would soon be in them on the day of Pentecost. But He had also promised in verses 26 and 27 that the Holy Spirit would teach them. You know, this is the beauty of teaching God's word. If you're a teacher or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, you're not actually teaching God's word. God's teaching God's word through you. You're actually allowing God to use you to teach the word of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word and the Holy Spirit who teaches the Word through us. And that's how we reach the world. That's how things will change. That's what needs to change in our culture today. More of God's word will make all the difference in the world. Now, he had promised them this. He is the counselor, the Holy Spirit, that the Father would send again in Jesus' name, sent in Jesus' name, just as Jesus had been sent in the Father's name, teaching them all they needed to know to serve Jesus in his absence, reminding them of all that he had taught them for the last 3.5 years. He assured them that his peace would still be with them, not the world's peace, but the peace that he had experienced throughout his life in fellowship with the Father. His peace would be with them after he returned to the Father. They would be lacking nothing, and we are lacking nothing. He was not promising them a worldly peace. He was promising them the true peace of God. And we know that peace, the peace that passes all understanding. He had promised them that the Spirit of truth would testify about him. That's really where Jesus was in our study last week. Let's take it forward and apply it to our circumstances. Because you see, Jesus promised his disciples that this counselor would come to expose the guilt of the wicked world. Is there guilt in this wicked world? Yeah. There's a lot of people apologizing. Some are apologizing rightfully. Some are apologizing because they don't know what else to do and they want things to change and they think by apologizing things will change. You know, I'm not going to apologize for being a racist because I'm not. But I feel badly because I know a lot of people experience that in this world. I've seen it myself. Believe me. I hear the way people talk and I recognize it exists. This world is wicked. And there's a lot of young people who rightfully right now are protesting and demonstrating because they don't like what they see. And I've said this before, I stand with protest and demonstrations. I kneel before God the Father on behalf of our world. I do. I believe that right now we are poised for some really good change. But it's not going to come through making a sign, although those things are fine. It's not going to come through marching, although those things are good. It's going to come as we teach the Word of God, which is the truth. The world needs the truth, and the Spirit of truth wants to share it with them. And when they hear the truth, they'll have a choice. They'll either reject the truth or they'll receive the truth. But understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who will convict the world of sin. He will expose the guilt of this wicked world. Let's read verses 8 through 11. We read in verses 8 through 11, when he comes, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict or convince the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. There are three things there we want to look at, and it's the crux of what we want to talk about today. You see, we're talking about the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus on the day of Pentecost. Last week we talked about the empowering, but today we're talking about the fact that he not only empowers us to serve, but empowers us to preach the truth. And when you preach the truth of God, God's word, in the power of the Spirit, people are given a choice for life or death, light or darkness, salvation or condemnation, but it's not you, it's God presenting that truth through the power of the Spirit in his word. It's amazing when we actually allow God to work in and through us how many can be saved. Wow. Not sure what's going on. Hopefully it's not a parade. But it's going to be a while. We pray that whoever needs that help of our first responders is okay. The Spirit of Truth. Let's go back to what we just read. In verses 8 and 9, we're learning there that the Spirit will convince the world of their sin. What is the sin that the Holy Spirit will convince the world of? That drug abuse and drinking and racism are sin? No, they are. There's sin there, but that's not the sin. that we're going to be convinced of when the Holy Spirit comes. He may convince and convict some of those sins. But actually, if you look, it tells us, in regard to sin, righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin, look at it, because men do not believe in me. That's the sin, that's the guilt that the world needs to be convinced of. They reject Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit will convince and convict the world of, that they're rejecting Him. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, and that's the truth that they need to understand. If you help people but don't teach them the truth of who Jesus is, you've only put a Band-Aid on a gaping, festering wound. We need to make sure the world understands this truth. Now, what we've learned there is that refusing to believe in Jesus in the Scriptures is called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's called that because when you reject the message of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is our Savior and He is the one that can save us, and belief and faith in Him will bring salvation and eternal life, you reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thus, it's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we know that every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven through repentance and faith in Christ. But blasphemy against the Spirit can't be forgiven. Why? Because it denies faith in Christ. It's the only sin you can't be forgiven. Why? Because you're rejecting Christ. And that's the guilt of the world. And the Spirit will convince the world of that guilt. See, without faith in Christ, there is no repentance. There is no forgiveness. So if we don't start in the power of the Spirit by the preaching of the Word with that truth, then every other truth we share falls short of the truth that can save their souls. Refusing to confess our sins is a sin that will ultimately lead to death, as John tells us. See, receiving the Spirit's testimony about Jesus will lead to eternal life. Without the confession of sin, there is no repentance. There is no forgiveness. So what is the very first thing in the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the Word that we as the people of God need to do for the world? Preach the truth of repentance. The entertainment church has given up on this. But the truth is, the world needs to understand that the wickedness that upsets them and frustrates them and angers them is real, but we're all guilty before God, every last one of us. Sin that is not confessed to God is a sin that will lead to eternal judgment. So that's the first thing the Spirit will do. There's another thing, though. He will convince the world of the righteousness of God. Who is the righteousness of God? He has a name. His name is? Jesus. He's the righteousness of God, the rightness of God. What is right? It's Jesus. So what Jesus says is right. What He did and does is right. So that's what the world needs to understand, because there's a confusion about what's right and wrong. There's a problem with our morals. So where do we get the guidance? Where do we get the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So the Spirit will convince the world that Jesus is the righteousness of God. Remember in verse 10, we read it, in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. See, that testifies to the righteousness of God, that He died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. Jesus would be put to death, raised to life, and returned to the Father, as He's told them, and His disciples would no longer see Him after His ascension to heaven. But His resurrection would prove to the world that He is the righteous Son of God. Amen? That's the truth. See, okay, so we need to bring the truth that the world is guilty of rejecting Him. And then as they respond to the truth that He's the Son of God, we need to make sure that they not only confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, but believe in their heart that God the Father raised Him from the dead, according to Paul in Romans 10, then they will be saved. Amen? So we need the righteousness of God. It isn't enough to just, you're guilty, oh, have a nice day. You need to understand, we need to preach the righteousness of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The resurrection proved that. And here's the beautiful truth, and I'm going to want an amen. His righteousness will be imputed to those that put their faith in Him. Amen? We become the righteousness of God by faith. And that's the second thing. That's mentioned here. Finally, there's a third, and I like this one. Doesn't have anything to do with me personally, or you if you believe in Him, but it has to do with the world that rejects Him. Because we're told in verse 11, And in regard to judgment, remember there was sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Amen? The prince of this world is Satan, and all those that follow him are condemned as he is. And they need to understand this. There is a choice to be made by rejecting Jesus and not accepting him as the righteousness of God and becoming righteous by faith. There is a price to pay. It's eternal. And it's judgment. We sometimes forget to tell people this. He would testify, the Spirit would testify to the world that their prince now stands condemned. Satan has been judged already because he has rejected God. He has rejected God just like the world has rejected God. Jesus would drive out and defeat Satan, the prince of this fallen world, on the cross. And he did that. Amen? He would triumph over the spiritual powers and authorities by the cross. As Paul says in Colossians 2, he made an open spectacle of them. He destroyed them on the cross. He triumphed over them, and he would die to set men free from the power of sin and death. So if you reject that truth, you're judged like Satan, the prince of this fallen world. His judgment will be imposed on those that refuse to put their faith in him. So there's our gospel message, right? But it has to be preached in the power of the Spirit, or it's not powerful. It's not effective. You ever notice you can say the right thing with the wrong heart and it has no impact? Have you ever noticed that you can sound really good but it makes no difference because God isn't the one working in and through you? The relationship with God is primary, but it doesn't end there. We love the world with the truth. Finally, and as we even prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning, and by the way, not everyone has to if you're uncomfortable, but we've taken extra precautions to make sure that everyone's safe. But as we receive communion, it's really good for us to sort of repent of some of the things that maybe we need to repent of. You know what those things are. And maybe one of the things we need to do is admit to God that we've been operating outside of the Holy Spirit. We've been doing things in our own strength. Or we have been not talking to the world about their guilt because we're afraid to confront people. Or maybe we haven't shown people that Jesus is the righteousness of God. Or maybe we haven't told people that if they reject God, they're going to be judged. This we learn here. This we know here. This we see here in God's word. And in verses 12 through 15, we read that Jesus said this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of," say it with me, "truth comes, he will guide you into all," say it with me, "truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come," speaking of prophecy even. "He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." He's talking about this truth. In case I lost you along the way, or you were watching the birds or the squirrels or the cats or something, I want to remind you the truth is the truth of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit wants the world to understand. We understand that. We know that. But Jesus has sent us and was promising to send them the Spirit of truth. The world needs truth. He promised them that the Spirit would guide them in all truth. Now, he realized that he had so much more to tell them. They couldn't receive that yet. And he seems to be referring to the work of the Holy Spirit among them in the last days. Of course, the work of the Holy Spirit would be revealed to them by the Holy Spirit in just a few days. The Spirit of truth would direct them by speaking the words that Jesus hears from God the Father. Understand, the Spirit will never speak independently of God the Father and God the Son because they are one. Amen? He would reveal to them what will happen in the future as the all-knowing God, the Holy Spirit. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us we need Jesus and empowers us to tell the world they need Jesus. So, in closing, the Holy Spirit would bring glory to Jesus by revealing to them his knowledge of the truth as the Son of God. When the Holy Spirit fills our hearts by faith and anoints us for service, that's what a Spirit-filled life looks like. It reaches the world with the truth of sin. It reaches the world with the truth of righteousness and the truth of judgment. That's the gospel, and that's what Jesus is telling them. Because God the Father's knowledge of the truth belongs to God the Son and God the Spirit. They are one. God the Son's knowledge of the truth would be revealed to them by God the Holy Spirit. But we serve one God in three persons. But God the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires us and inspired them with the knowledge of the truth, of God's truth. And what would they do with that? Well, they would teach God's revealed word to the people of their generation. What should we do with it? We should teach God's word, God's revealed word, to the people of our generation. They desperately need it. They would record God's revealed word for future generations. Now, that's not our place, but we hold in our hands the fruit of their ministry as they recorded God's revealed word for future generations. We don't need to record it. We need to preach it. Amen? Brothers and sisters, today's message is really more of an exhortation, much like last week. These passages sort of teach themselves. My job as your pastor and as the teacher of God's word today is to simply remind you to take what we've read and put it into practice, to take what we've studied and apply it to our lives. Against the backdrop of a world that is hurting, scared, anxious, angry, frustrated, and in some cases rightfully so, in most cases rightfully so, we have the answer. So where are we? Where are we as God's people? Where are we? Have we loved those in the world enough to share these truths, the truths of sin and righteousness and judgment? Or are we perhaps guilty of sin and being unrighteous and judging? Right now, if you want to be part of the solution, you can. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and we'll reach our culture with the truth. Think about how many people are listening right now. They want to know the truth and they're not getting it from our leaders. They're not getting it from these movements that are not built on the Word of God. The answer is love and truth. And may we always tell the truth in love. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we want to be part of the answer in our world. We want to be world changers. We want to be those that can reach the world and change the world. But we know we can't do any of that, that it has to be God the Holy Spirit. You, the Holy Spirit, have to come down upon us and fill us and anoint us and equip us and empower us to reach the world with the truth. You are the Spirit of truth. We ask that you would give us the truth, help us to preach the truth, that the world would see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father but by Him. May the world receive this message and understand that you are the righteousness, that Jesus is the righteousness of God, and not be judged for their sins. May they confess and repent. The world, our country, our nation, our communities need you. Lord, use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.